We turn this morning to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And we are going to read just the first two verses, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. From Ephesians 4 onwards, Paul's objective is to lay before the Ephesian Christians what it means to walk worthy of the calling to which they have been called. And as we saw in previous studies, that entails living in unity and harmony, one with another in the body of Christ, verses 1 through 16. It is to lead a life that is markedly different from that of the unconverted world, putting off the old self with its sinful desires and putting on the new self, which is godlike in righteousness and holiness, verses 22 to 32 of chapter 4. And what we notice in chapter 4, and we'll see it in chapter 5, is that as Paul lays out the various imperatives, he also provides motivations, incentives, whereby those imperatives can be obeyed. For instance, in calling the Ephesians to unity, he cites the spiritual unity they already enjoy in Christ, verses 3 to 6 of chapter 4. The Ephesian Christians are not to walk after the manner of the unsaved Gentile world, because that's not the way they learned Christ, chapter 4, verses 17 and 20. They're to be done with falsehood. They're to speak the truth to their neighbor, because we are members one of another, he says there in verse 25 of chapter 4. And in this present chapter, which continues to outline the believer's walk, his or her walking worthy of the saving call of God, the motivating principle Paul adduces for his readers to fulfill this duty is the relationship they sustain toward God. The relationship we bear toward God by virtue of being saved in Jesus Christ obliges us, Paul is saying, to walk worthy of the calling to which we've been called. According to chapter 5 and verse 1, the relationship we bear toward God is that of being his children. And besides the fact that we are his children, we're deeply and most tenderly endeared by him, because in verse 1, Paul also makes it clear that we are beloved children of God. Now just stop and think of that for a moment. That is truly astounding. The thought that in his marvelous grace, among the blessings, among the honors that God has bestowed on us, is the privilege, the honor of being called not just his children, but his beloved children. And right beside verse 1 of Ephesians 5, we could write 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, in which the Apostle John exclaims, he says there, behold, that word means look with amazement. He says there, behold, what manner of love, the idea that the word there for manner suggests foreign, look with amazement, what foreign kind of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Understanding who we are and having a conviction as to who we are as God's children should certainly impact how you and I live in this world. And that is the point Paul is making here in this text. He begins, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. The word, therefore, takes us back to chapter 4 and verse 32, and it's connected to that verse in which the injunction was issued, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And ignoring chapter breaks, if you read this verse in tandem with verse 1 of Ephesians 5, it is clear that what the Word of God is saying is this, that when we are tender, when we are forgiving, when we are forbearing one another, that is to essentially be imitating God. Because that is precisely how God relates to you and me, prone to sinning, prone to straying as we are. And in our study this morning, we want to explore what it means to be an imitator of God. Indeed, all of chapter 5 of Ephesians concern this matter of imitating God. Let's open up the text. We read again in verse 1, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." That word in the Greek word for imitate, is the Greek word mimetai, from which we get our English word mimic. As children typically mimic the ways, the speech, the deeds, the mannerisms of their parents, so you and I are called to mimic, to copy God's character into our lives. Ours is the call to emulate, to follow the ways of God as His children. We're to be imitators of God, Paul writes, and in the Greek text, the verb used is become. We are to become imitators of God. That's what it is literally in the Greek. We are to become imitators of God. It's present continuous tense, which suggests this, that the pursuit of imitating God, of copying God in our lives, in our character, is a lifelong endeavor. We are ever to be continually, increasingly becoming like God in our conduct. That likeness to God is to be a lifelong vocation. Paul also says there in verse 1, the respects in which we should be imitators of God, he tells us, the respects in which we should be imitators of God, notice, we should do so as beloved children. What's the idea behind that phrase, beloved children? It implies that our emulation of God, our imitation of God, that our living like Him is to be governed by love and affection. No, we are not copying God, we are not imitating Him in some kind of slavish, mechanical way. No, not with some kind of loveless legalism. What we are doing is, out of affection for Him, out of admiration for Him, wanting to be like Him in character, we are desirous of imitating, of copying His character into our hearts and lives. To be imitators of God, what a staggering conception, as one man puts it. The thought, I would say, is inspiring even as it is intimidating. It is inspiring when we stop to think of it, because the privilege we have of being like God in character. God, as it were, has invited us, and He says in His word, "As I am holy, so be you holy in all your conduct." That is a marvelous privilege. We get to bear the character of God in our own lives. But it's also intimidating because of our proclivity to sinning and failing. In fact, if the question is asked, what is it that makes Christian living so difficult? What makes it so challenging? It is this: you and I are not called to copy some eminent Christian. You and I are called to copy, to imitate the very character of the Holy God of heaven. That is really daunting. That is really intimidating. It's most humbling when we stop to think of it. It's far easier to emulate some eminent Christian than it is to emulate Christ Himself. You see, when we emulate others, that leads to smugness, self-satisfaction. Why? Because chances are we might find somebody that we can actually imitate. But when it comes to imitating God, it's quite another story. Now, some will raise the objection that that is really impractical, that is really a near impossible thing for us to do. Some would say the command to be imitators of God is impractical, it is far-fetched. How in the world could we ever match up to this idea of imitating, of copying the conduct, the character of the Holy God of heaven? I want to submit to you this morning that based on the teaching of Scripture, based on the suggestion of the Word of God, it is feasible, it is possible that you and I, in our lives, in our character, from day to day, as people look at our lives, can actually see something of what it means to be godly, of what it means to be Christ-like. And the first point I want to make this morning is this: it is possible, it is feasible, because God has laid the foundation whereby this is feasible. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 states that in choosing us from the foundation of the world, God's purpose is this, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. The very fact that from eternity past, part of God's saving purpose for you and me is that we be holy and without blame before Him in love itself testifies to the fact that the call to be like God is feasible and possible. And when we talk about being like God, when we talk about being holy and blameless before Him in love, we're not talking about just when we get to heaven. We are talking about in the here and now. God wants us in the here and now to be like Him in all our ways. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 29 teaches this very thing, that those whom God foreknew, He predestined to what? Be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, that the character of His Son might be reproduced in them, again, as I said, not just in regard to their future state, but in regard to their present state here on earth. Second, Paul's prayer for the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19 signals the purpose of God concerning our copying or imitating Him in our walk. Listen to the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Paul's prayer is this, that the Ephesians may be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm praying, Paul says, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He's talking about the character of God. He's saying here, I want for God's holiness, I want for God's truth, for God's righteousness to be exhibited in your life in full measure. We think of his prayer, his plea for the Galatian Christians, and we actually hear his frustration with a group of Christians that he was working with. He could not see them coming to maturity anytime soon. And I think it's in chapter 19 of chapter 4, Galatians, somewhere in that chapter, he says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be what? Formed in you. God's purpose concerning our copying, concerning our imitating Him in our walk, then is seen even in the prayer of the Apostle Paul. It is seen in the command given in chapter 5, verse 19, to be filled with the Spirit. Because what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means this, to be filled with the fullness of God. Because when a life is filled with the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the manifestation of that life will be what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, and so on and so forth, all of which are characteristic of God Himself. In the third place, that the call for us to be imitators of God is feasible, is possible, is underscored by the fact that we have been endowed with what Paul described in Ephesians 4:24 as the new self created after the likeness of God in the true righteousness and holiness. We have a new self. And Paul says that that self that we have, that self, that nature we have, is patterned after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The point is this, we can, by the grace of God, imitate Him. We can copy Him in our character, in our daily walk, because in consequence of His saving grace, He has laid the groundwork. And what is that groundwork? The formation of that new self in our lives. He has provided the raw material whereby we can actualize in our walk semblance to his holy character. And then in the fourth place, this call to be like God is feasible. It is not far-fetched. It is possible. It is feasible because it is premised on our status as God's children. Note once again Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God as beloved children. The Word of God teaches that no sooner has a person been born again than he becomes a child of God, or she becomes a child of God. And as God's children, we have a new heredity, in as much as God's own life is implanted within us. 1 John 3 and verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 puts it like this. We have become partakers of the divine nature. When we become saved and we become born again, we become children of God. We have a new heredity. We inherit God's nature, the Word of God says, so that by virtue of the new life in us, by virtue of the new nature from God, it is therefore possible, it is consequently possible for us to mirror in our own lives the very character of God. Again, just as children are expected to bear traits of their family, so all of God's children are expected to bear the family likeness. And what is the family likeness? What is the family likeness in God's family? It is that of holiness. That is why the Word of God insists that our life from conversion onward should be a life of continual pursuit of holiness. God has instructed us in His Word. He says, "Be holy as I am holy." Now, here's a question we have to ask this morning in light of our text. In what ways are we to be imitators of God? We know for sure we can't be imitators of God in terms of His attributes of omnipotence, of omniscience, of sovereignty in that absolute sense, but we can be imitators of God in a moral sense. We were created in God's image. We have the new self that He gives us, created after God in righteousness and true holiness, Paul tells us. In this passage, Paul tells us two ways in which you and I are to imitate God. We're looking at the first this morning, and it is we imitate God by walking in love. We imitate God by walking in love. Because notice what he says there, shortly after he says, be imitators of God, verse 1, he says this, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now I want for us to see in this verse at least three things that the life of love by which we are to be like God is characterized. We want to see three things about this life of love by which we are to be like God. First of all, notice the model of such love. The model of such love. What is the model of such love that we are to use in our lives to imitate God? Notice the first eight words of verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us. And suggested here by these words is that our Lord Jesus is the one who concretely, who consummately illustrates for us what it is to be imitators of God. He it is who concretely, who consummately, that is in the highest form, shows to us, reveals to us what it is to walk in love. And why is that so? Because God, we know, cannot be seen. God cannot be known apart from Jesus Christ. If God cannot be known apart from Jesus Christ, then it is in Jesus Christ that we must see the kind of love that God has, which we are to imitate. Christ is the image of the invisible God, according to Colossians 1:15. As such, he is the one who has revealed, he is the one who has explained God. No one has ever seen God at any time, John chapter 1, verse 18. And in showing us what God is like, Christ, our text tells us, loved us. In Christ we find the most profound expression of the love of God, John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, for when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, 1 John 4, verse 9, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. We could say this, that to walk in love as Christ loved us is to really exhibit divine love in our lives as Christians. It is to be like God. God is love, the Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 8, and that life which bears semblance to the life of God is that of love. As one man puts it, if love is the essence of God's nature, it is the essential of Christian character. So the model of the love we are to emulate, that we are to imitate, is Christ in his love. We imitate God as we love as Christ loved, because the way Christ loved is the way God loved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In the second place, we see regarding the love by which we are to imitate God in our walk, the measure of such love. The measure of such love. Again, verse 2, walk in love as Christ has loved us. Here comes the measure of God's love. And gave himself up for us. In other words, the love by which God loved us has a gauge. It can be measured. The love with which God loved us, beloved, was not just a love in theory. It was not just a love in speech. It was a love in action. It was a love that was demonstrative. It was a love that went into action. It was a love of sacrifice. Such is the defining measure of that love by which we are to imitate God, a love that expends itself to the point of sacrifice for the good of others. As 1 John 4, 9 through 11 puts it, in this the love of God, here it comes, was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We can know how to love as God loves, and in so doing, imitate him. Why? Because God has set forth the measure demonstratively of how he loves. He loves not just in thought. He loves not just in speech. He loves in action. He loves by giving sacrificially, by giving of himself. Regarding this love by which we are to imitate God in our walk, we see not only the model of such love, namely Christ, and the measure of such love, the fact of sacrificial self-giving, but we notice thirdly, the motivation of such love. If we're going to imitate God, we must have some kind of motivation, some kind of incentive whereby we are going to love him. And do you notice here in the text, the motivation of such love? It's actually in the C part, the very last part of verse 2. Again, let's read the verse, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Here it comes, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And that expression, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God, speaks of the delight, it speaks of the pleasure, it speaks of the pleasure, the satisfaction that God takes, that God finds in the sacrifice, the sacrificial self-giving of his Son for sinners on the cross of Calvary. And if you go back to the life of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, you'll find that one of the things that motivated our Lord Jesus to give of himself so sacrificially was for this very reason. in order to give himself up so as to please and delight his Father. Listen to him in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. God the Father is saying, I do not delight in the blood of bulls, of goats, of animals. And then the Lord Jesus responds, sacrifices you did not desire, but a body you have prepared me. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, lo, I come to do your will. O my God, your law is within my heart. The greatest satisfaction of our Lord Jesus, the greatest motivation our Lord Jesus had when it came to this matter of his giving up himself for our sins was the pleasure of the Father. He says in John 10, verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I laid down my life for the sheep. And by a similar token, in imitating the sacrificial love of God in Christ, ours should be the motivation to delight the heart of God. We, my friends, whenever we love God, the Word of God tells us that the way that Christ loved, it was a sweet aroma to God, a fragrant offering to God. It pleases the heart of God when we give of ourselves to others. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. What is the writer referring to here? He's referring to the expression of love for others. And so first of all, we see from our text that Christian conduct is all a matter of being like God. If somebody says, what is the essence of Christian conduct? How would you define Christian conduct in a nutshell? It is there in verse 1. True Christian conduct is all a matter of imitating God, of reflecting in our lives the character of God in his holiness, in his righteousness. And foremost in our emulation of God is to be a walk of love. In our living a life of love, Christ-like, self-giving, sacrificial love. Kenneth Weiss put all of this in perspective when he wrote, the saint is to order his behavior or manner of life within the sphere of divine supernatural love produced in his heart by the Holy Spirit. When this love becomes a deciding factor in his choices, the motivating power in his actions, he'll be walking in love. He'll be exemplifying in his life the self-sacrificial love shown at Calvary, and the Christian grace is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. As God's beloved then, as God's beloved children, ours should be a life that's characterized by continual walking in an atmosphere of love one for another. First and foremost toward God, because he comes first. Matthew 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind. And secondly, this love should be expressed toward all men first, among our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially the Word of God says to those who are of the household of faith. So having said all that we have said this morning, here comes the challenge. The challenge is this. Are we imitating God, for example, in kindness and tenderness? Are we imitating him in kindness, in tenderness? Are we replicating in our lives his forbearance, his forgiving, forbearing love, as Ephesians 4:32 enjoins us? How much are we like him in our love for the lost? How much are we like him in compassionate love for the lost? How much do we copy him in his passion for holiness and righteousness? Here's the challenge this morning. Is there a burning, ardent desire in your heart? And I ask myself that question as well. for righteousness, for godliness? Do we want to be more like God in patience, in holiness, in love? Because that's really what it means to be like him. But we have to say this by way of caution. We have to say this, that apart from the energizing aid of the Spirit of God, you and I as Christians are not capable of coming even anywhere near imitating God. No, this is not something we can do by willpower. This is not something we can do by mechanical effort. This is not something we can do out of sheer legalism. Because what we need in order to do that is divine aid. That is why the Word of God exhorts us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, to be filled with the Spirit. We need the grace of God, for example, to help us to imitate him in the area of love. Why? Because naturally, left to ourselves, we are self-seeking, we are self-preserving, we are given to self-gratification. That's why we need the infusion, we need the energizing power of the Spirit of God. In closing, let me say this. We cannot imitate those we don't know. And the same applies spiritually to this matter of imitating God. If we do not know him, then we cannot imitate him. To imitate God, as one man puts it, we must know him, and to know him means eternal life, without which we can in no way resemble him. We are not to seek to imitate God in order to become children of God, but because we are children of God, we are to imitate him. Our walk as Christians is to be consistent with the relationship we bear to him as children to a father. And then, properly speaking, to imitate God is to manifest in our lives the very character of Christ. It is to mirror in our lives the very character of Christ. Why? Once again, because God cannot be known apart from Christ. We see God in the face of Jesus Christ as he is presented in Scripture. We see how he walked when he was here on earth. We see his compassion. We see his love. The Bible says, John is speaking, he says, we beheld his glory. He was full of grace and truth. That's what God wants to replicate in your heart, in my life. May God help us to this end. May we know the enabling power of his grace, of his Spirit, so that we might be imitators, mimics, as it were, of him. Amen and amen.